Maloni, Talohani, Talofalava, Malole Soifu, Malelangi Mama, Kia Orana, Maloelelei, Fakalofa Lahiatu, Talofa, Kokumele Mele Puka, Mel, Mai Teama, e Momo Lava Pikia, Peti Tato Tamana Italangi, Motana Tauhinga, Manahoka Manuyanga, Mugitato Uma. Mateola Matema Alohi Kumaue Gitato, Kokatino in Tato Tamahaina Bene. Yeah. Once again, warm Pacific greetings to all our listeners. You are tuned in and listening to Te Ama Radio on Planet FM 104.6 or live streaming online at www.planetaudio.org.nz. Or if you missed the broadcast, listen for the next 7 days at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Te Ama Pacifica Health. Better yet, you can download our weekly shows on the Planet FM website. Te Ama are proud to partner up with Waitemata District Health Board and East Tamaki Healthcare to promote health and welfare amongst our Pacific population in Aotearoa, New Zealand, so that we may have the tools and knowledge to make better lifestyle choices. Our sponsors, Waitemata District Health Board, is the largest New Zealand DHB in New Zealand, which protects, improves and promotes the health of our people and communities. And our other sponsor, East Tamaki Healthcare, is one of the largest primary healthcare providers in the country, and East Tamaki Healthcare have been serving South Auckland communities for 40 years. Mālo ni mahaka he tai lahi lele ki te Waitemata District Health Board. Ia, ma East Tamaki Healthcare, mo te ngā lue mālohi mo te tau tō mō tātou kāina pahe huka I Aotearoa New Hila.
Mālo elelei, and once again, Te Ama Community Radio is very happy and excited to introduce our very great speaker, Manu Fotu, Program Manager for Suicide Prevention, Mental Health and Addictions, Auckland District Health Board and Waitemata District Health Board. But as we normally do, first of all, we acknowledge our Heavenly Father for the gift of life and that He has woken us up this morning, reminding ourselves that some didn't make it, and tonight will be somebody's last good night. So therefore, we will open our program with a word of prayer. Fatalo fatu malo soifu, pelavantato masaneo la amateina la tato pokalame, ile tatalo, tato tatalo.
Let us pray. Taulotu, e atua mafmaf malofa mo ta mai fawana fiona, mo te unu mai hoa koin, ke tu wada fa malo mo faftai, ko ia ko e mo te ausia mai aho fa kau fa koin, per ko mo faftai ia mo pe ho hua fa, ko ia ko e ngahi kelesi, mga hai tāpua ki umau inasi ai. O tua ko e manake e fai mau ki ipo kalamba, umau te kake atu ki a fiona, a ki mau tolohon kotoa heni, hau marau maria ne tataki, a he pōtala noa a manake fai. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day. Yes. We thank you that we get together here. And before we discussed a very sensitive topic and other topics that will help our people, I pray, Lord, that your spirit be here with us to lead us and to be part of the discussions, because we know without you we cannot do anything. So we just commit the day to you, this program to you, in your mighty name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. again to all our listeners there listening to our radio program, Te Ama Community Radio. And this morning, we are very privileged to have with us Manu Fotu, as previously mentioned, Program Manager for Suicide Prevention, Mental Health and Addictions. And Manu has been working in public health for a very long time, since he left the University of Otago, and he really has a passion for this. He was a general manager of operations for the Whakatautua organization since its inception well over 10 years ago, and is also a registered mental health nurse from the University of York, England. He's currently the co-chairman for the Moana Pacifica Forum, which is a collective of managers from various Auckland-based Pacific providers of mental health and addiction services. He is also the acting chairman for the Tongan Aotearoa Health Workers Association and a member of the North Cross Intermediate School Board of Trustees, and sits on a number of other boards as well. So as you can see, he's a man that is well-versed with these health issues and topics that, and we're glad to have him here today as he shares with us on a very sensitive topic that has touched, I'm pretty sure, some of our lives. So as we begin, we'll just like to find out a bit more about you, Manu. We understand you've been on radio before, but for those who've tuned in for the first time, and who are listening to you for the first time, could you just give us a little background on yourself, please?
Yeah. Oh, Malo Lele, Adeline and Fale, it's always Malo. Good to be here. You know, as you mentioned, a regular contributor to the program, yes, which I'm always happy to come back and update. Just a couple of things in introductions. I need to update some of my information, so I think on the
okay, you go right ahead.
The Moana Pacifica, I used to co-chair it with a nice gentleman, Bruce Levy, who is the Pacific manager for Pacifica Mental Health in Waitemata, DHB. But the current chair of Moana Pacifica is Aroni Clark, a lot of us will know, right. And Epenesa. Epenesa has been on your program previously.
Yes.
So they're navigating the ship now.
Mm-hmm.
Before I forget, I think it's always nice to have a bit of a good news, eh? With regard to the America's Cup, you know.
Oh, yes.
We won it this morning, so yeah, yeah. I think that's a talking point, and it's so good for the whole country. And something that I guess we need to have some good news sometimes, you
yes,
know, celebrate the good news. Because some of the topic that we're going to talk about today, it will touch a lot of people, and it will affect some families, and that will create some feelings, some emotions.
That's right.
So it is a very sensitive topic, but always good to celebrate some good news. I'm married to Jenny. I've got five children. My eldest, Isaac, is 23, and then Gabriella. She's 21. She just turned 21 not so long ago. And then I've got Daniel, who's 17, going soon to be 18, and Zinni, who will be 18 soon as well. And my youngest is Jacob. He's 13. So that's all my kids. And, you know, so, it feels like sometimes 10 kids that I have, but like all of our families, you know, we always have a big families and also extended families. So as you mentioned, I'm part of the Mental Health and Addictions Funding Team.
Mm-hmm.
I always say that, and people say, "Whoa, you know, you have access to funding, to money." But I quickly said, "I manage the suicide prevention program, mm-hmm, which has no money. I have to seek for that." So I think this is a little bit of update on where I'm mm-hmm doing right now. And I've been in this job for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, as you mentioned, I was at Whakatautua for nearly 8 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Oh, thank you for sharing that information with us. Your work at Whakatautua has, mm-hmm, is that in some way related to some of the experiences you've had there with the mental issues?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with my journey as a profession, you know, being from in England, working in mental health area for quite some time, so over there nearly 6 or 7 years before returning to New Zealand, and I actually work as a clinician for 2.5 years for Pacific, and always my passion is to work for Pacific community, for our people. I went into the NGO sector, which into management, and that's how I ended up working for Whakatautua. When we start, I was involved in the setting up of Whakatautua, because two organizations are under that umbrella. There was Malolonga, which I was I managed at the time, and then Pius, which is the disability sector, and they combined and formed Whakatautua, and that really took off in terms of providing services in mental health and disability sector, and Fale would know well in those days. You know, Fale was looking after the Like Minds, Like Mind program, which is addressing stigma and discriminations of mental health. So my journey has kind of prepared me from a clinician to management, and now to funding and planning. It's a progress I've seen that all the experience that I have learned through my journey has helped me a lot in terms of my current role.
Yeah, thank you for sharing with us. If I could ask you this question, what is it that keeps you keeps you involved in this, you know, sector of the health?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I guess with involving in mental health and what I see, the issues that our people face. You know, in the early days, we all have different perceptions of what mental health or mental illness is about, and how we address it. Obviously, we have a lot of, you know, in our Pacifica community, still a stigma to have mental health, and that will, you know, and that's a barrier of people seeking help and support. And what we see for a long, long time, our people entered mental health service seeking help from it in a later age. You know, you could have entered, you know, seek help earlier.
Yeah.
And I think that's that was the barrier, because people don't want to be identified as suffering from mental illness. So that's a barrier, and we continue to work in terms of getting people to look at mental health issues just like anything else, you know, just like any physical health. If you suffer from it, you need to seek help. There's a lot of help here in New Zealand, in Aotearoa, but it's just getting our people to access that. The other thing is, I always talk about you know, mental health. A lot of our people, when you hear mental health, you quickly think of the illness part, but there are mental health as well. You know, you can look after your mental state, your mental health, by doing a lot of things that will look after your health. Just like your physical health, you can go, you have to go to exercises, you know, to maintain your physical health. There are some aspects of in a way of doing things to maintain the wellness of your mind. For example, you know, going, having a relax. You know, that we're living in a very stressful environment.
Right.
You know, just having a, you know, exercise will do wonder for your mental state. You know, just relaxing, not, you know, having a little break, having time with your families. You know, those are kind of things that will maintain your mental health. And I like the Mental Health Foundations have these three things that are three ways to well-being. And some of them, you know, it's about connections. You know, taking up a hobby, doing things for others. You know, those kind of things that will definitely assist your mental health. So coming into suicide preventions then is that, you know, obviously I'm so keen to us and to be part of a program that will prevent people taking their own lives. And we'll probably talk a little bit more about the contributing factors.
Yes.
You know, people choose to end their lives to reach that point because of reasons.
That's
people
right.
don't want to die.
No.
The end point, no one wants to die. But the end, they reach that point because there is a lot of pain, a lot of contributing factors, underlying issues that drive them to that point.
Mm.
And it was interesting, somebody went to a conference in Italy, and he came back, and some part of Italy, that when somebody died of suspected suicide or suicide, they don't call it suicide, they call it lonely death by lonely death.
Right.
So it's changing the wording, the label, which means that this person has walked the last part of his life alone. So
they feel alone and isolated.
That's right, that's right. So what that label tells us is that we need to look after our people, to look after our neighbors, to continue to care for our families, you know, the connections, to make sure that nobody reach that point alone. So that's an interesting concept, but it's my passion is to contribute in a way on preventing people from reaching that point. But it's a whole lot of complex. It's a complex issue. There's no one solution to it. That's why I'm at where I am at the moment. There are certain things that we need to look at, and things that we can contribute from where I am, and namely the health part. But there are other agencies that need to contribute in terms of assisting in preventing suicide.
Okay,
thank you, Manu. Can you repeat that? Lonely death.
Yeah, if somebody died by suspected suicide, it's called death by lonely death.
Thank you. Because we are talking here about our lives, and how can we all proactively help each other, and especially those who are struggling with what we believe to be the most important gift in this world. Like you said earlier, nobody wants to die. You know, and how can we make the community understand the importance of looking out for each other?
Yes. Well, it's a very good question. And like I mentioned before, it's a collective effort. You know, no one organization can provide that. There's no magic bullet, silver bullet that will address everything. So when we are looking at some of the... I sit at a group, a youth mortality review committee that I'm part of for Waitemata in Auckland. Now, this committee has been mandated by the government to review every death of young people under 25. So whether they die on the road or, you know, some of our issues on death on driveways of our children or swimming, all death, they review it. I go into that to that committee when there's somebody, when they review people who died by suicide. So what they do is we look at that person's journey, identify some of the contributing factors, identify some of the support that that person might or might not have, some of the services that they involved with. For example, SIFs, you know, a lot of our people that died of, lost to suicide have been known by SIFs or Tamariki, or Oranga Tamariki, as they are called now, Vulnerable Children, Ministry of Vulnerable Children. And so looking at some, what can we do differently, make some recommendations, and the idea is to improve the services and the support that some people, that our young people have. So so in terms of you know, in terms of that, there's a lot of the stats that come out. Kids are involved with SIFs. You know, they you know, they have a role to play, obviously, and children has been taken by the by this service is because there is something happened at home. So the, some of the things that emerge, you know, drug and alcohol, family violence. So those are things that I identified that is a contributing factor. So knowing that, we'll have to look at the people that can help the families. You know, families always, you know, a stronger family, a stronger, you know, community, stronger society, stronger nations. I think that's the building blocks of a strong nation. But so we see a lot of disruptions to that setup. You know, people don't have the, you know, the strong bond in their families.
In their families.
And all these things has created the disruptions and the issues that arises from them will have a massive effect on our young people. Mm-hmm. And of course, they will grow up to be adult and have raised families their own. So the cycle will be repeating if we don't address it. Mm-hmm. That. So that's why I mean the health part, we can do something.
Yes.
The social services, they'll have to do something. The police and all other agencies. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably, if I have time, I'll talk about our interagency group that we have. But that's some of the stuff that, you know to answer your questions, Fale, some of the issues that we see.
Yeah. Thank you. And also, I just want to come in here again to take this opportunity. I want the listeners to know that you, Manu, has dedicated your life to working in public health and who is also a great mentor and a role model for a lot of our Pacific health workers in the public health sector. Mm. For me, myself, it's been a privilege and a blessing for me to have actually worked under your directions and also your leadership. And I want people to know that you are very passionate about what you're doing and everything that you have shared with us so far. And I'm vouching for that because I'm one who has been very, very blessed in having you, Manu, in our lives as well as the leadership that you lead in our community. And I just want to thank God and, you know, for you and continue to do the work that he's called you to, you know, in helping our people to, you know, to understand and to stay alive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to...
Thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, that's... And it's always my passion to work in the community. And that's one thing with this role that I have. I still have the community connections like this one. You know, I come on the radio. I go to a community group with a view that, like I said, is if we can, it's a collective effort. I involve with my other heads involved with the Tongan sports. You mentioned my I chair Aki Heuho, which we have a whana water contract that deliver to help Tongan families. Mm. But I involve with sports as well because there's a great vehicle to to teach our young people not only to participate and showcase their talent, but also an opportunity to teach them about life skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
to give them some tools because our young people they face a lot of stress these days and challenges, and if they don't have the tools to address the issues they face, then they will be, you know, they won't be able to cope with that. There's a whole lot of things, you know, the social media is a big thing for our young people. And so sports I see as a way, not many as we realistically see people who play sports, only a small fraction will make it in the top flight. But we can incorporate some training or some teaching our kids all the skills while they participate in sports, and they will hopefully when they reach the adulthood, they can recall on some of the experience, the life skills they have learned along the way. And I think that's, you know, that's really important for our young people because, that, like I said, the distractions of internet, social media, we can see how people are isolated, just interacting with their phone, with their things, and they disconnected their human connections to others. You know, that's pretty a challenge for us as a community, that our young people will become more and more isolated. Because some of the, you know, we hear people take down lives, a young person, because of relationship breakdown, for example.
A major one,
because they can't handle, the rejections, absolutely, you know, all the issues that come with it. Whereas if they have, you know, strong, they know that, you know, this is part of life, you know, relationship breakup. We can deal with that, that little part of their journey, whether they be grieving or being sad or whatever, but they'll come out the other end. And there's another day, you know, the sun will always shine, you know.
Manu, the slogan reminds me of the like minds is what you do makes the difference.
Absolutely.
As you started off this morning, you said, you know, we need to be happy and introduce about the sports, rugby, and also with this photo side of you, mm-hmm. which I know of the sporty mm-hmm. children that you have, Isaac for once, you know. Mm. And that's quite a talent, like you were saying, the skills. And also you said, you know, we need to balance life out by having a good laugh mm-hmm. you know, now and then. It's the best medicine, isn't it?
Absolutely, mm. absolutely. And it's something I think we as society, we... I mean, I'm generalizing, but it's so easy to look at the negative mm. side of life, isn't mm. it? And forget that we have a lot to celebrate.
Mm, that's right.
And I think, I know, speaking as a Tongan, we are so humble that we don't celebrate, you know. But humble is good, but also recognizing mm. that there are good things that we need to celebrate, mm. even with your, you know, with your children, you know, so, mm. so quick, you know, and I think sometimes we're so quick to point mm. out their weaknesses, mm. The negative stuff from them, mm. but we need to balance it up with really praising them and making them feel good about themselves, raising confidence, mm. you know, that affirming. They can do it, mm. but also at the same time, you know, walking alongside them and telling, oh, this is, you've done this, you know, not highlight the consequences. Oh, of course, there are some consequences, mm. but also learning from that mistakes, mm. but also celebrate.
That's mm. right. I think a lot of the times with islanders, like you said, we tend to look at the negative things, and when our children achieve things, we don't affirm them or give them enough positive reinforcement remarks mm. and all that. And, you know, sometimes it can play on their self-esteem,
yes.
think that they're not good enough,
mm. Mm.
and then that they're not valued enough. There's been some alarming statistics in regards to the placing of New Zealand suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we look at the statistics in the last 10 years, mm. we have two sources, main sources of getting statistics out to the public. Mm. One is from the Ministry of Health,
right.
The suicide and self-harm data that they produce mm. every year. But they don't produces every current year.
Mm.
The last updated of the data that they released was 2013. So they're about mm. 3 or 4 years lacking. Now, the other source is from the coroner.
Mm.
The coroner releases the data every year as well, provincial, they call it, suspected suicide,
right.
because they have to do some investigations to make sure it is suicide
mm.
before they can classify it as
yes.
such.
Yes.
But, so they come in every from... our latest was from July of 2015,
mm-hmm.
June 2015 to July 2016. And so that, and you're right, it's alarmingly high every year for the last 8 years or so. It never been tipped under 500.
Mm.
So the last coroner's data was 579 people mm. died during that period, you know, 12
that's
months. So that's really high.
Mm.
And also our young people, they're second highest in the OECD countries
right.
in terms of the rate of our young people died. The rate is measured by how many per 100,000 of populations.
Population.
Yeah, so the rate is quite high. So that's you know, straight away we see that we haven't improved or decreased the numbers every year. So, you know, we have had a 10-year strategy
mm.
from 2006 to 2016
mm.
and two action plans that came out of that.
Mm.
And yet we still see a rise in our, you know, never crack under the 500 mark mm. of people died mm. each year, you know, nationally. And if we can compare that to the road tolls, people mm-hmm. who died on the road.
Absolutely.
We have decreases from 700 people a few mm. years ago
mm.
to now tracking at under 300.
Mm.
So
this is the road?
This is the death on the road.
Yeah.
So what happened here is that we have brought in a lot of aggressive public you know, awareness you know, awareness programs, mm. you know, reduce the speed,
yep.
you know, the prevention. Drink driving, you know, that's so aggressive, and that's the result. We reduce the death toll on the road.
Mm.
So there must be something that we need to do in terms of trying to reduce the statistics, the suicide
yeah.
rate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you share with us something about that came on the news. You mentioned it. I asked you about it if you knew. My King and
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you just elaborate on what happened there? What
okay.
What's it all about?
I listened to Mike King. He was a guest speaker at our currently is the celebrations of Mata Riki,
right, yes.
And at DHB's and at Waitemata over in North Shore. There was a sessions where Mike King was the speaker. And as we know, Mike King, you know, is well known publicly as a comedian. He talked openly about how he suffered mental health issues,
right.
Suicidal. So he knows what's it like to be at that space. But he also worked with a lot of young people. He goes to a lot of schools talking about, you know, the issues of mental health and also suicide. And what he has shared is that, you know, the children obviously feel like they're not heard in terms of when there's issues. They can't talk to the adult, you know, some of those things. And obviously, there needs to be working together with the young people,
yes,
in terms of looking at solutions. And Mike King is advocating about the interests of young people,
yes.
Obviously.
Mm.
And in the news, with the new strategies being out for consultations lately, the consultations period finishes yesterday. So it'll be interesting to see with all the national consultations to the strategy, what would be the final strategy that will come out. And Mike King was part of the panel who was to assess the strategy, you know, to work on
right.
on the draft strategies.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the news, you probably some of our listeners would have known that he walked out of that panel
yes.
because what he feels like that the strategy is not putting anything new on
right.
it from the previous, in comparison to the previous strategy. But also, there has no set directions. I think, you know, where everybody was thinking, let's set some target and aim for it. You know, reduce by how many percentage of suicide or reduce it by, you know, at the length, you know, in whatever length of time there would be. So there was a few things that he thinks is that wasn't incorporated when they discussed the strategy. So he walked out of that, but he will continue to voice
okay.
the interest,
to advocate
for our young people. And it generated a lot of discussions yesterday, I must say, at our at the meeting.
So he's more like the voice of those who went down that trail, who are going down that trail. Like the young people unheard, haven't been heard. And
yes.
Also, you mentioned something about young people can't talk to people or they don't talk to people. Like you say, it's a lonely death. You die alone. Why? Because there's no one there.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
So, sorry, just quickly. Is there anything that you have in place or any plans or programs to help these young people? And how do we find these young people? How do we know who they are?
So that's the 1 million questions.
Yeah.
I mean, from a district health board's point of view, I oversee the program for both Waitemata and Auckland,
yes.
DHB. So this is a really big area to oversee with a program that, and I guess, you know, with over a million people that I need to work with. So I guess the thing then, like I mentioned before, the importance of working together, because you know, I can't as much as we put a plan together from the DHBs, they need to be work alongside other community groups like
That's
mental
true.
Health foundations,
yeah.
you know, Lifeline. We've been working with them,
yes.
Youth Line, which they all have a part to play.
Yes.
So other agencies, as I mentioned before, we need to all work together. And for the last two or nearly 3 years that I've been in this program, there was my experience in the NGO, I guess, it's having a network, you know, relationship with other networks right around the communities. That's important to link into them, because what I found, if you sit at the funding and planning team, and if you know, it's so easy to lose touch of the community connections.
That's
because
right.
if you are just in the office,
yes.
drawing a lot of plan, or, you know, looking after contracts and all of those things, there's a less connection. But I try to connect with my role that I'm in, to work with others, Mental Health Foundation, to build relationship, because together we have to work together to address this. common enemy, if you want to call it like that, as Mike King would have labeled it yesterday.
Right.
Suicide is a common enemy for all of us to deal
absolutely.
With.
Yeah.
And the young people, I know that they, you know, it's again, it's coming back to a home situations.
Mm.
You know, there's a role for parents to play big time, you know, because, and I know there's families who have been challenged. They have to work. They have, you know, families work two jobs.
That's right.
And there's a risk of lack of time spending with the team. Chuck into that our applications to our community group, to our churches, and everything will take up our time. And yet our kids will grow. They grow every day.
Mm.
So I think it's something that we have to look into as a community, to spend time with our kids, because it's not overnight that they reach that point.
Mm,
it's accumulations
right.
over time
yes.
that they finally find themselves in this predicament, this desperate situation.
Mm.
And sometimes, if they can't talk to the adult or families, they seek advice from their peers.
Mm.
And they don't know any different. You know, they're
right.
under stress as well. And they will give a distorted advice.
Mm.
And that advice, unfortunately, you know, suicide is an option for some of them.
Mm.
And self-harm.
Mm.
So all of those kind of things is an accumulated effect, I feel, to reach that.
Yeah. Can you share a bit of what the GPS is? I know this is a big thing that we...
Right, yes.
Not enough time we have, but...
Yeah,
you know,
the brief time that we
everything.
Have. Sure. GPS is Growing Pacifica Solutions, and this is facilitated by Levar. They have a national conference of GPS every year, but this time they call it a satellite seminar, which is they're going to hold one here in Auckland. I think I believe there's others in other centres, Wellington or Christchurch. But for the GPS, it's happening tomorrow, and there are some very well-known speakers in there. Dr. John Groshaw was a director and chief advisor of mental health. Dr. Monique Faleafa is the CEO of Levar. Dr. Jemima Tietia, she has done a lot of research into suicide post-vention, support for our family when the suicide has happened.
Mm.
What support do they get? Nothing. Basically, that's what her research tells us. But also looking at some of the guidelines of providing support. We have Matafanua Hilda Faselele, the chief advisor Pacifico Ministry. Myself, we're a joint team with Linda Bowden from Counties Manukau looking at the regional approach. We have Joseph Liava'a, which is a community person for Istamaki, liaisons in Istamaki. Roger Shea from Casa, and Denise Kingi Uluave. I mentioned her because we're working closely with Levar in terms of suicide prevention. They have a program, and they just got a new contract to run training in the community. So there's it's a big plus for Levar to be provided. And we'll continue to work with them. So there's a GPS tomorrow. Hopefully a lot of people will turn up at...
where is it?
It's over at Samoa House in... Was it Mangere? Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Right. Is there a contact number where people can contact you or whoever?
Yeah, contact me the Levar website if you have access to it. It's www.levar, I think.
That's okay.
If you just go on Google, everything is Google nowadays, isn't it? Google Levar, and we'll come up with their website.
Yeah, we're just going to go into a break, and we'll come back and pick up on that when we come back.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
I thought I'd write.
Are you a landlord or a tenant? The law has changed to help make rental homes warmer, drier and safer. Working smoke alarms are now compulsory in all rentals. Landlords, you must have the right smoke alarms in the right places or risk tough penalties. Tenants, you must change the batteries if necessary and tell your landlord immediately if your smoke alarms aren't working. Installation will also be compulsory in 2019. Go to tenancy.govt.nz or phone 0800 836 262 to find out more.
Then I then could dream.
All employees working in New Zealand have minimum employment rights. Your employment rights cannot be taken away from you. As an employee, you have minimum rights relating to these things and more. Minimum pay, being paid wages or salary, holidays and leave, breaks, a safe workplace, and having a written employment agreement. Make sure you're treated fairly and know your rights. Go to employment.govt.nz or phone Employment New Zealand on 0800 20 90 20 to find out more.
Our special guest in the studio today, who's a program manager for suicide prevention, a very sensitive subject that has affected a lot of people. But at this moment, we're going to ask him to share a bit more on how the families, how the community can be helped in terms of training and dealing with this very sensitive issue.
Oh, thank you. Just before I get on to that, I just found the information about the GPS seminar tomorrow. So it's on tomorrow here in Auckland and in Christchurch on the 17th of August and 6th of September in Wellington. And it's at the venue. It's at over at the Fale Osamoa, which is 141 Beta Drive in Mangere. And it starts, it's a whole day, so it started at 8 o'clock, 8:30 onwards. So this is a quick update, and I finally found it. I knew I had it somewhere. In terms of our family, I know, you know, the suicide, like mental health, it is there's a stigma attached for it, to it. Because, you know, when it's happened to our, in our family, I can, you know, I understand, and I know from listening to some of the stories, is that people start searching for answer. You know, why did it happen? And then from there's an element of blaming. You know, we should have done this, we should, you know, you should have done that. So there's an issue to deal with. So one of the things that some of the training, for example, there's a training called Safe Talk, and for Levar, there's a Flow Talanoa, which is a training that they provide for free in the community. And the idea was to provide a conversations or a talanoa with the families, looking at things like the sign. You know, when you're talking to somebody who are thinking of suicide, you can pick up some sign. And like I said, people don't want to, you know, no one wants to die. Every now and then, some people might not disclose it openly, but there are signs that you can look for. You know, like, for example, you know, they're selling all their stuff because it's a final, you know, just a change in behavior.
Other things,
you know, if you know that sign, it's where to take them for help. The other thing is our families don't really, some of them are a bit anxious about conversing about suicide because it's not a topic that it's, you know, easily addressed. So if you are equipped with some of the language, you can talk to someone, make them feel comfortable, feel safe to discuss, then it's then that's all the things about training that will that will equip our families to be able to do that.
Thanks for sharing that. Is there anything else? We've got a few more minutes.
Right, okay.
You'd like to share
A final message, I suppose, for me in terms of this role. I'm you know, I'm learning all the time as well. You know, there are evidence that work out there in terms of suicide preventions, but there's a whole lot of evidence that will come. So we build on that. The message I said, like before, suicide is preventable. This is a World Health Organization's terminology.
Okay. It's preventable.
It's preventable because some people might say, oh, if he wants to do it, he can do it. You know, there's a, if we adopt that thinking, then we might not be able to help at all. You know, we can just easily say, oh, just leave them alone. They'll do it. That's it. But suicide is preventable, means that we go all out to prevent it.
To prevent it.
There are ways of preventing it. So that's a message. And the other one is to making suicide prevention is everybody's business.
Yes.
You know, we are all in this together. You know, everyone's business is there. It just means it fit well with us, that we, you know, that we care for one another, look out for one another. And it means asking the question, are you okay? Not just in the surface, you know like we greet
really,
each other. How are you?
Yeah.
But really said, are you okay? If you notice something different to that person, if you know, they are our friends that we know really well, and suddenly we see their behavior change a little bit, then ask the genuine questions. Are you okay? What's going on? Because people who don't want to die, and that comment means that you care.
You care.
Yeah.
Show them that you love them and you care for them.
Yes. Yeah. And that's huge for us. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Again, we're really grateful that you've been able to come in and share with us your experience and your passion in helping our country and our community to help with the prevention of suicide. Thank you so much. And to our listeners, thank you as well.
Manu, it's always a blessing to have you, and we look forward to having you back again.
Malo, Alpito. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just come together at the end of our program. We feel that your presence has been with us and you have led us in our discussions. Father, I just pray that you, all the listeners that are listening in our program, be with them. And if there's any issues, Lord, you are there to help, first and foremost. And we just commit ourselves to you once again, Lord, that you lead us wherever we're going to be for the rest of the day and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Are you a landlord or a tenant?